Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuning in to Number One Prince of the Airwaves with your host, Prince George.
And also Vicky.
Here we go. On Blog Talk Radio and Zone Radio Alliance.
What up, y'all? Welcome to Number One Prince of the Airwaves. I'm your host, Prince George, y'all. I hope, you know, today, as you guys can see, you guys, those are the ones who can tuning in. Today is supposed to be becoming three. We have a special guest coming in the studio today, a little later today. But right now, we're about to go into some music by What's on Records, Easy Trinity Music. This song is written by Joel Salsa Easley for Easy Trinity Music 1. And this is off the Books Becoming soundtrack, which we're currently working on the movie Project 4. So you guys can see for that. It's coming August 30th. 2021, y'all. Hope you guys can look forward to that and go out and support, y'all. All right, this song is titled All I Ever Wanted to Be, y'all.
All I ever wanted to be, all I ever wanted to be, yo, wanted to be,
wanted to be,
all I ever wanted to be, yo, wanted to be,
wanted to be, wanted to be.
All I ever want to be is a good boy, good man, good son, good brother, good grandson, and husband. Thing is good with the room to be better. Better yet, wonderful got sons. Even when people try to say or pretend that I wasn't. But because people sometimes don't try to give me the time of day, stuck to myself and let the God lead the way. Feeling ready, feeling real good today. And the day ain't even over and I got a sense of scope of how I feel. Leaving people on their own mental trip of that. When in fact I got on my knees and prayed for things to be better.
Better.
Alright, y'all, that was entitled All I Ever Want to Be, written by Joel Salsa Easley for Easy Trinity Music 1 for Words on Records, y'all. And that was entitled All I Ever Want to Be off the Books Becoming soundtrack, y'all. Alright, y'all, right now we're about to technically go and play another song off the Books Becoming soundtrack, y'all. And this song is entitled As One, y'all. Written by Joel Salsa Easley for Easy Trinity Music 1 for Words on Records, y'all. Enjoy,
since the beginning when we met, I thought I was talking to a goddess, so I wined it and dined it. And as the time passed, I got a chance to get behind it for the life of me. I knew someday somehow we was going to make it, despite the occasional arguments and nights of hesitation sessions. We got through it all with no hesitation. Instead of coming apart at the seams, we straight kept it together. All these years later, we've been down and you still kept us together. We could have packed up so many times that we made behind and started anew. But no, we decided it's you for me and me for you. So let's take this trip for two, where two becomes one. So let's say I do.
All right, y'all. That was As One, written by Joel Salsa Easley for Easy Trinity Music 1. It's off the Books Becoming soundtrack, y'all. The artist is Baby G, y'all. All right, y'all. We will go take a place of bills, y'all. And it's our what's it called? Became, y'all.
When the world was in trouble and needed a hero, one man was the only thing that stood between them and a creature set on world domination. He came, he saw, he saved, and he just became. When the world was in trouble and needed a hero, one man was the only thing that stood between them.
All right, y'all. That was Became, y'all. Now we're going to another Pay Some More Bills, y'all. And it's entitled Bugsy Commercial, y'all.
Critics call it dazzling, a cinematic leap forward, heart-pounding 3D effects, film of the year, when a vile creature sets out to destroy the calm and the world as we know it. One man is ordained as a new breed of hero, and Christian hero of heroes, in order to keep the world from going into complete chaos, one city at a time. Now it's a race against time, and this new crowned hero has to prove he is the one who can stop this vile creature and right the wrongs, and in the process help 13 other individuals to take their rightful place by becoming something they never knew existed. From director George Easley, Trinity Vision Entertainment and Warzone Comics presents Bugsy the Becoming, starring Prince George. Bugsy the Becoming, see it in 3D and cinema at AMC, Regal, and IMAX theaters, August 30th.
All right, y'all. That was handsome bills, y'all. We're gonna go pay some more bills, y'all. First, or actually, you know what? We're gonna play music. This song is titled "Dreams," y'all. Written by Joe Foster Easley, Easy Trinity Music 1, off of Warzone Records. It's off the Bugsy the Becoming soundtrack, y'all. And it's called "Dreams." And it's featuring, it's Baby G featuring Warzone Lala. All right, y'all. This is back here. I'm back. That song is entitled "Dreams," written by Joe Foster Easley for Easy Trinity Music 1, the Boys on Record, y'all. And that song is titled "Dreams" off the Return soundtrack. And this feature is Baby G featuring Warzone's own La La, y'all. All right, y'all. We're about to go into another commercial break, y'all. And play some more bills, y'all. And this commercial called "Discover Us."
Discover a duck that barely clucks. He's not dead. He's just well fed. Enter a zone where you're never alone. We have publishing companies if you need one. Artwork of all kinds that'll blow your mind. If you've come this far, you've come too far to stop. Actors, actresses, performers, call the zone immediately. 424 732-932-9673. We are open 7 days a week, excluding holidays, Monday through Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our number again, 732-9673. We'll be here just for you. Go to www.warzonecomicswzc.com.
All right, y'all. We're back right now. Hold on. Our special guest is coming into the studio right now. So give me 1 second, y'all, to get our special guest situated within the studio itself. Hey, caller, how you doing? Hello?
Hello, George?
Hey, caller, can you introduce yourself to your fans, please?
Excuse me?
Can you introduce yourself to your fans, please?
Oh, yes, yes. My name is Corey Johnson, and I'm originally from Minnesota, and actor, host, singer, choreographer, youth speaker.
How did you get into your profession, or what drew you into your profession?
I got into it, you know, when I was younger. It came from doing a lot of work with musicals and working with kids as well. Film and TV came into the picture when I was in high school. So it started with stage, and then it went into TV and film a little bit later on.
So how did you come across acting as a profession or stage as a profession? I mean, besides,
you kind of.
How did you come?
Oh,
how did I come across acting as a profession?
You're still breaking up. I'm so sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Sorry.
How'd you come across stage and how'd you come across stage and acting itself? I mean, I know you were saying you did music as a profession and things of that nature, but how'd you come across acting itself? Like, what drew you into acting, or what made you go into acting?
It started when I was younger. The very first moment I was asked to sing a solo for a Christmas musical, original Christmas musical play, stage play at my school, and the rest was, you know, the rest is history. And it just grew into doing musicals, and it grew into stage, grew into more TV, more on screen as I got older in high school and college. And then eventually something that I knew that I wanted to definitely do full time as a profession.
Is that something you majored in college? I mean, as well, as far as like...
I did musical theater classes. I did vocal classes. I did some on-screen classes. But as far as training, I mean, I've trained in Los Angeles, Minneapolis, New York, Atlanta, San Diego. So I mean, I did go to two different schools in Los Angeles for acting. And for choreography, musical theater, voice, singing, etc.
Okay, have you ever felt like giving up and moving on to other profession or passion project, or you always want to stick with performing?
Did you say have you ever thought of giving up? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not prepared for the rejections, which are very consistent, unfortunately, and if you're not sure to yourself and know that this is what your purpose is, it can be very discouraging and frustrating, to say the least. Maybe depressing is the other word, to be more transparent. But yes, there's been times, not only that, just going through a loss, you know, someone that's close to you. I lost my father 6 years ago unexpectedly, and that threw me off the track creatively. I lost a lot during that time, and actually moved from Atlanta back to Minnesota to be with my mom and to take care of my family. And at that moment, I had, you know, it was a choice. Do I get back on the track and keep going and doing what I love to do? And my dad would have, he always told me to do what you love. And so, yes, I've thought about it. And I think there's times in our lives where you take moments to have breaks, maybe take a hiatus because of certain things that have happened. But, you know, yeah, I have, but, you know, I always have been drawn back to being in this profession and doing this as it's not a job if it's something that you love to do, and the money just does it works out, you know, and that's the way I definitely have believed, and kind of how I operate on my day-to-day basis is, you know, you got to have faith and trust and courage that it's going to work out. So.
Okay. So, who inspires you to be an actor or in theater or music or any other entertainment field you're in? Who is your inspiration for you?
Oh man. You know, there was, there are so many. I mean, I could list a lot of different. Growing up, I watched as far as stage. Since you started with that, I watched when I was a kid Music Man, and I ended up being a part of that musical, and that led to other musicals. You know that. You know, classic old time musicals, Sound of Music, Fiddler on the Roof. But Music Man is still to this day one of my favorite. But as far as screen and film, this is going to make you laugh. It was the Rocky Balboa franchise that I watched and this was 8-7 years old. And you know, just watching the scenes and watching the stories, and it just, I think those are some of my inspiring moments. If, you know, being on stage is very different than being on screen. Obviously, we all know that. So, you know, but there's still is a lot of focus on both sides. You have to have a lot of focus. It's a lot more detailed on screen than it is on stage. But, to answer your question about inspiration, it really is my family, my parents, my grandparents that have always, they were always encouraging and supporting. And when the moment that your school counselor said, oh, you know, theater, stage, you know, being an actor, yeah, that's nice and all, but you should do something with computers or something with, you know, another related area like sports or, mainly with computers back in that time. My parents and my grandparents were always, if you're not going to love it, doesn't matter how much money they're going to pay you, you're just not going to be happy. So the question is, do what you love to do and be happy, and the money will somehow work out and come together. So, there.
Okay, so... So I hear that you are upcoming a project, an audiobook and a movie project with Warzone Comics. How did that come about?
How did that come about? Well, Actually, the connection started back in 2006, networking in LA and Hollywood. And, I don't know if it was at a studio or a school or an event. But we all know when we're in Los Angeles and you're going 90 miles an hour pretty much all the time. You're at networking events, you're in auditions, you're in classes, you're on set, et cetera. And connected with some wonderful people. And back in 2006, and literally just this summer, reconnected with the same wonderful individuals. And now kind of fell into an opportunity with, playing this role and this character and being a part of this audiobook, which is great.
Okay, so what character do you? How is it coming so far? What character do you play? If you can tell us.
Yeah. So the character is called Permission, and his is the name of it. And some of his character traits. He's a curious, impressionable, kind of no nonsense, but he's also fearful and playful character of the story and of the audio book. And so it's definitely I love taking on different character traits that are a little challenging. Be playful, no nonsense, be kind of blunt, be fearful, but be playful. And I think it's great to take on roles and characters that are difficult, and you have to switch things up within a page or two, meaning you're changing the intonation, you're changing all the specifics of the character to definitely tell the story. So, but yeah, that's that character is definitely is a lot of fun. And that's the project's called Bugsby, The Becoming. So, and then Bugsby School Days. So,
I mean, so like, how was it? If I'm not mistaken, you say you work with children. I think if I'm not mistaken, behind the scenes, you work with children with in this trying time we have. So, how was working with children, and how was it with the programs you're working on, or what is the other programs you're working with or working on with that concerns children?
Well, right now, because of what's happened, everything is on Zoom. There are old friends of mine that I've been working with the DARE program, DARE America, since 2002 out of Los Angeles. And we traveled all throughout Southern California and even parts of, Central and Northern California as well. So they're doing Zoom green screen. There's a couple of the theater companies that are working with kids right now, and it's really important. The kids are at home. Kids and a parent is at home, or a parental figure, an aunt and uncle. And it's definitely a very important, urgent time right now, so it keeps them busy, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. So, I've been working with kids since the mid-90s in regards to mainly anti-bullying, self-esteem workshops and friendship workshops, the importance of friendship, teaching the golden rule. It's just, sometimes this that slips away and it's not really taught anymore. Just the basics, getting back to the basics. But to answer your question, yes, it's really right now what has happened since March is really important. It's obviously not the same as live, but we have to be thankful and grateful for online opportunities right now. And hopefully things will get back to some normalcy. And some places are. So now it's gone from, working after school program content in school program content. And some of that content is environmental education as well as anti-bullying. I have to say that word very, I have to enunciate that word. but, Yeah, it's really important right now. The kids, not only for the kids, but for the parents as well, or the parental people that are in the house. So to keep them busy with music, singing, dance, choreography, fitness, puppetry, improv. I mean, it list goes on and on. We've created a lot of different things out of it. So it's been great. You know, we're just making the best of it. For right now, it's all you can do.
I mean, you said DARE. You mean a DARE company, like the company we used to have, like the red and black colors that, you know, we see,
yes,
used to see in elementary school, junior high school, when we were, like, much younger than we are now? That same company still exists?
You know, it does, but there's been some of my contacts that I used to work for that have kind of branched out, and they're doing their own thing. They had a pretty heavy presence up until about 2008 when the economy situation happened. Tried to come back again in like 2012, 2013 with some grants, and it's still happening and it's still in session. But it's not going as nearly as strong as it was back when it was, you know, like in the 80s and 90s and even, you know, the first part of the 2000s. But yes, it's still going and it's just that same company that we all have the t-shirts, you know, we use them for yard work or when we're working out or whatever. But, that experience for 5 years in early to mid 2000s, you know, probably closer to the late 2000s when it went on a hiatus, excuse me, crash, really showed me how really important it is to connect with kids. And, you know, the phrase, you know, everybody starts, the kids are our future. It's kind of thrown away. Yeah, the kids are our future. It's really important. And because if we don't teach and connect with them, there's a lot of other things that, you know, that they can be doing that is not as healthy, and then they can, you know, keep them out of trouble. So, you know, all these experiences have definitely confirmed and helped me realize, hey, we can use the creative arts, performing arts, and the creative world to really help the kids. And, we're doing it. It's limited because, you know, there's only so many kids you can see on a computer screen, you know. So, but, you know, we're making the best of it.
So what other projects besides Bugsy Becoming and School Days and things of that nature, what other projects can people see you in, or what other projects can they see you in?
I've got some content on my website, and they can definitely see some some photos of some work I've done with film and TV and short films, independent films, commercials, hosting. I've been working on a new project that was launched. It was developed in the last couple of years, but it was launched in January of this year. It's called Cini, C-I-N-I, and it's a new app that's kind of connecting the power of Instagram and Twitter and Facebook kind of all together, and YouTube as well, and it's streaming. So I'm one of the actors. I actually play the role of Facebook on the Cini, C-I-N-I. Commercials, and they're adapting the same commercial format what they did with Mac and PC. There was, I don't know, 50, 60 commercials. Everybody remembers those, the Mac versus PC, PC versus Mac commercials. So we are in the process of doing that. It slowed down a lot due to the current state of affairs with COVID, but we're now coming back into session hopefully next month. We've done some stuff on over Zoom, but of course, there's only so much you can do. But yeah, Cini, and then I'm working on it's called Chop Master. It's more of a cooking show that we're doing healthy foods for kids and healthy foods for everyone. And that launched in February, continued to keep going, but because of what happened in March, that's been on hold as well. But other than that, still connecting with DARE and other projects working with kids, A lot of the content is on my website that we're doing. I'm still waiting for a lot of content that I'm going to be editing and putting up there, but there's a lot of work that that people can see if they just go to my website, which is just Corey, C-O-R-Y, M as in mom, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.com, CoreyMJohnson.com, and they'll see a lot of different videos and content and photos.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, during the time that you were doing theater acting and everything else, you also had a music career, correct?
I did, and I still utilize one of the songs that I wrote. The music career started back in early 2000s when I was in LA. I was in San Diego, and I came up to LA to literally just crash an audition for a boy band. Yep, I said it, a boy band, guy group, and ended up booking it, and it was a wonderful experience. Groups, whether it's guy groups, girl groups, they're very challenging. A lot of things going on, a lot of different attitudes and personalities you have to learn from. But the recording was incredible to learn. Being in a studio and recording, and not only that, but the live performances. We toured schools. We did anti-bullying school tours with different projects and productions around Southern California. We did middle school, high schools. And so, yeah, the music was, it didn't last. It lasted for about a few years, but it was a wonderful experience because, you know, not only the recording process and just the touring, it's singing the Star Spangled Banner with the four-part harmony, hitting those notes and seeing the people and singing songs like Amazing Grace and a cappella and Happy Birthday and Star Spangled Banner and, you know, America the Beautiful. Those moments were incredible. And that led to some solo stuff I did, which was in Atlanta back in 2010, which I launched a song called I Can Make You Dance and connected to a lot of different, connected to a lot of different anti-bullying projects and different establishments around all of Georgia and all around the South. And I'm still actually just performing that song once in a while, and just, you know, helping the kids out. And it's a song that, you know, I brought some fitness aspect to it. So, you know, we keep the kids entertained also, but I brought it to different fitness camps where, you know, we teach the kids, you know, hey, drink more water than sodas, eat fruits and vegetables. It's another whole aspect that I've been doing with music and dance and fitness as well as really teaching the kids about food and the importance of food. The basics again, just drinking a lot of water, good water, eating healthy, staying away from food that your body's not going to like so much and you could get sick from. So, yeah, probably answered about three of those questions in that question.
So the song "I Can Make You Move," you wrote it, or was it written for you, or how did it come about?
It's "I Can Make You Dance." The song was actually written. There was a funk. Dang it! It was just on the tip of my tongue. There was a title, "I Can Make You Dance." It was written back in the '60s or '70s, and my producer at the time. We were going over this track, and the track was actually going to be submitted to a radio Disney artist in Orlando. And that they decided not to pick it up, and they ended up leaving the music business. The artist did, and so I came into the studio the next night, heard the track. We literally recorded the entire song within about an hour and a half. Just when stuff just hits you, it just. Okay, here's verse one, here's two, here's the hook, here's the bridge, here's the hook, here's the rap, done, you know, and it was so much fun, and so, however, it was designed and from a concept of, it was designed from the concept of, you know, we can make you dance, I can make you dance, this will make you dance, It's just a fun song. The song is actually on the website. It's on, I think it's maybe one of the last videos on my website. Just a teaser, but it's the full music video. The official music video is on YouTube and also Vimeo. And it's just called I Can Make You Dance. I went by Corey J, Cory, and then J, J as in Johnson. So.
Okay. So, like, you keep mentioning your webpage and things of that nature. Tell the fans how they can reach you, like, on social media or your website.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. So that's just Corey. Again, it's just Corey, C-O-R-Y, M as in mom, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. So Corey at Corey M. Johnson. And then the website is CoreyMJohnson.com. And you can also YouTube is Corey M. Johnson, and I have to those are the sites right now. I'm still working on a few other social media sites. There's so many right now, but those are the ones for right now. So, but there's a lot of information on the website. So there's acting, acting to hosting to choreography, vocals, singing, teaching and working with kids, and the music. So, yeah, it's all on there.
So I have a question for you. With everything you've done, like it's musical theater, music, singing, voiceover, things of that nature, right? What is your ultimate goal? What is your ultimate goal in entertainment in itself? If you have to technically, say like, in the rejection of, what is your ultimate goal? Like, what is your ultimate goal? What do you want to embark on, or continue with, or what do you want to? What would you want to be your legacy?
What would I want to be the next? Is that what you said? You kind of broke
up. What would you want to be your legacy? Like, or what do you want to do next, or what would you want to be your legacy?
What would I want to do next? That's a great question. You know, I think it's really just, for me, it is, you know, it is just doing what you love and letting the audience, your audience, demographic, which is, you know, kids, and it's not just kids for me, but the kids and the youth are definitely the big, big part of what I do. Especially right now, there's so much going on, I think to trust and have faith that everything will work out and, say your prayers, trust in God. You know, he listens there's so much going on. There's a lot that behind the scenes, you know, because of this year and what's been going on. So I think a big part of, you know, me being on online classes and teaching and even performing and whatnot, because that's what you can do right now. And hopefully that's changing, is it's just a big, big part of, it's definitely, you find your purpose, you know, and it's been a tough year. There's been a lot of abuse in families, in houses, now in homes, verbal abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. The kids are home. I'm just being transparent. It's what happens when you have social workers as good friends, and they tell you what's going on. They say it's really great that you're doing these classes, and I'm like, thank you. There's a purpose. That's the purpose, you know. So, you know, to keep the kids encouraged, encourage them to, stay creative and, to be optimistic and, you know, and to keep moving forward. You know, keep having faith and have courage and keep moving each day. It's been a very interesting year for some people. Hasn't been so affected, but others, it's been a pretty challenging year. So, everybody's in a different journey and a path and a place. So, I hope I answered that. I gave you a monologue.
You know what? I am not worried. Okay, so like, is that also what you want your legacy to be? Is that you help a lot of people?
Yeah, my legacy to be, you know, yeah, the legacy is, you know, is yeah, yeah, definitely is to, you know, work with kids, and I even had a friend of mine just this year say, you know, you should be the next Mr. Rogers, and I kind of just looked away and laughed, but you know what, I was like, okay, you know, I mean, Mr. Rogers impacted a lot of people's lives, including mine. And he was an inspiration. Someone who was so very well balanced in everything that he did. He touched on a lot of different issues, and that was back in the day, which we're still going through today. But the acceptance, his acceptance of everyone, and using entertainment, using being creative, sitting down and talking with a child that has, you know, has gone through a very challenging childhood. So to leave the legacy is definitely to impact people, to tell them that that they are loved and they're appreciated, that God hasn't forgotten them, because a lot of people think, you know, I pray and this and that and God never, no. He listens. He's hearing you. You just have to be patient, and it's in his time and his will, and it will work out, and it will all come together. And that's the big thing right there, you know, is that especially in these times we're living in right now, this is also a lot of mental war that's going on. You know, there's a lot, obviously, if this is a physical situation that's going on with the virus. But this is just as mental as it is physical. So we have to be strong in our faith. We have to be really, we have to lean on each other, and we have to, connect with each other and pray with each other. And some people say, don't talk about that stuff. It's not religious. It's not being religious. It's having a relationship, and it's just being real. You know, we need each other. So it's relationship over religion. That's what a lot of my closest friends, we talk about when we get together and we projects, whether they're musical theater, whether they're on behind the scenes and on screen, whether they're choreography or fitness or whatever it is, you know, it's about sharing our faith and with the creative and with the performing arts and all of those aspects, because that's the hope. You know, I mean, if you don't, everybody needs hope. So, but, yeah, no, who knows? I mean, you know, the world needs another Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks did a great job, but somebody needs to be another Mr. Rogers. So, and maybe there's a little Mr. Rogers in all of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but,
yeah.
I hope, again, I was probably the third monologue within that question, but.
No. You know what? My next thing is, what else do you want people to know about you? Like, the floor is yours. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want people to know about you, or whatever cause you're
I like,
at, the floor is yours.
What do people not know about me? I love pistachio ice cream and long walks on the beach on Tuesday afternoons. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. it's good to, you know what, you have to laugh. It's important to laugh. It's important to smile. I know we have these masks on. When you don't, still make eye contact and still nod and still smile. We all need each other right now. You know, if you're not wearing your mask when you're in your car, which everybody has their opinions on that, smile at someone who you don't know. You know, there's a lot going on right now, and it has been. And I'm hoping and praying that it gets better, and that we do get back to a place that was, pre-March. But we'll see. You know, again, it's just operating with faith and trust and courage. that it will work out. But, yeah, it's the simple things. You know, again, the golden rule. The golden rule. It's just the more I've worked with kids since the mid-90s, that whole golden rule thing is just kind of – it's faded. Every few years or every year, it's just faded. So I want to bring that back. It's important. Let's be patient with each other, you know. So but other than that, be patient with each other and, you know, help each other right now during these times. And I guess this is another big thing. We all have different thoughts and ideas when it comes to the political side of things. We're still human beings. We still are Americans. We still need each other. Okay? So that's everybody still bleeds red blood. We still need each other. We might have differences. Please figure out how to still live amongst each other and love each other and care for each other. Someone needs water, give them something to drink. Somebody needs something to eat, feed them. If you have a dollar, I don't care if it's 50 cents. If someone needs a jacket because it's not cold anywhere right now, but you know what I mean. If someone needs clothing, help them out. If someone's car's broken down, they're like, I don't have AAA, and you have four that you haven't used, which, help each other. So, you know, there's this division that's underlining because of what's going on. So let's make sure that we are still humans, you know, and that we still care for each other. And I know this is probably didn't need to go that route, but it's been a big thing on my heart, my mind, and my gut to talk about. But you know, that's important to me. So.
It is what it is. I mean, so, like, you said you spoke a lot about your family. Like, where were you, if you don't mind me asking, where were you born? Like, where were you born?
I was born in Minnesota in a very small town, less than 1,000 people. My first job was when I was 8 years old on the farm. Literally picking rock in the fields before they plowed it for the beans and the corn. So we'd pick rock, bale hay, and milk cows, and then other random. So that's where I was born. I was born in rural Minnesota, about 3 hours northwest of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I learned to work hard, learned to work and save. And if you wanted something, you have to work and save and buy it. And, you know, and a lot of people told me there's no way you're going to make, there's no way. When I got into high school, out of high school into college, you won't last a year in LA. There's no way that come on, man. There's no way you're going to be able to live up with what you love to do. I did it, and I have been doing it. You know, not consecutive, consecutively, but there's been a few years that goes by, and it's like, hey, I just supported myself 5 years off of what I love to do. You know, 2 years ago, I met Jim Carrey, randomly doing stand-in work. He talked about a speech that he gave. And when he was on set, he talked about a speech he gave. Oh, gosh, was it for – I can't remember what – it was at some Ivy League school. He gave a speech that he's – you know, and he told us there was a technical difficulty on set. We were there 2 or 3 hours longer, and he said – he was talking to some of us, and he said, you know, his father never did what he loved to do. He wanted to be he wanted to go into, you know, drawing cartoons and something like that. And his dad, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go to school. I'm just going to get a regular job doing this. And he still wasn't happy. And Jim's point was, you know, you might as well do something that you love, even if you might fail. But what if you don't? If you do something your whole life and you fail at it and you don't like it and you hate it, what's the point? You might as well do something that you love to do. So, So anyways, yeah, I mean, grew up in a very small town, but, you know, those moments, and I'm so thankful and grateful, you know, sometimes being in L.A. and being in New York or, you know, other cities, sometimes I would say, I wish I was born out here, but no, there's no way I would ever trade that. I'm so thankful because you learn to work hard and survive. And some people don't know how to do that. You know,
I mean, how was the transition from moving from Minnesota to LA? Like, was that a hard transition, or was that just for the idea of working in entertainment, or is this because something you wanted to finish you do overall, or what was the reason why you moved from Minnesota, and how what was the transition from moving from Minnesota to LA?
It was, I planned it out. It wasn't too bad. I mean, there was some hiccups there, here and there. I came out to visit. I have some relatives in San Diego, east of San Diego, kind of by state, by SDSU. And so it's like east area of San Diego. And we came out to visit and went up to Orange County in LA. And I just knew, obviously the weather's a little bit better than Minnesota winters. You know, if anybody knows, you know, Midwest winters, especially Minnesota, it can be challenging. I came out here to visit. I went back and worked and saved up for 2 years. Someone told me, Anthony Barnao. I went to an acting class, and which I came back and he became my acting coach on a regular basis, and then my manager. God rest his soul. He passed away, unfortunately, suddenly a few years ago. And he said, go back home, work and save up, and make sure you have $5K. Make sure you have $5,000 to come out to L.A. Some people, you know. I came out a little bit more. I worked really hard for a couple of years, and so glad I did that because I got out. At that time, you know, that was in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. So, you know, you can't jump on Indeed and LinkedIn and just, you know, submit your resume. You came out, I got material, I went back, I called, set up jobs even before I came out to LA. So I had jobs set up a few days to a week after I got there. My mom drove with me out from Minnesota, and we had a blast. You know, we would stop at different places and see different things along the way, the, you know, Rocky Mountains and Wyoming, and you know, we stopped at many different places. So the transition was, it wasn't like some people's stories where it was like, you know what, I'm leaving for LA tomorrow, and they drove from, you know, Miami or New York. You know, I've met several of those people, which, you know, that takes a lot of faith, and which, you know, that's amazing. Mine was a little more planned out, but you know, it's when I got there, you know, it was an adventure. You know, I guess the rejection and the process of being rejected and, you know, being, you know, having to be, it's very busy. Your work, if anybody knows the lifestyle, and back in that time, you would be out networking and you would be going to these networking events with your materials, you know, you'd be dropping off your headshot and resume. None of that happens anymore, obviously, you know, so. So when I'm in class now, when I'm talking to somebody that's 20 or 25 years younger than me, it's hard to connect with them because, you know, they have a certain increase in a social media following and they just get work. It's hard to explain to somebody that you had the work you had to put in back in the late 90s and early 2000s as an actor in Los Angeles. It's way different. Obviously, it's way different now. But that was the challenge. But the process of coming out was good. You know, the process was good. It was just, and then maintaining, I lived and pursued the business for 10 years in LA. And then in that 2010, I got some work and I moved to Sean, Georgia. I did it. I had so many people that told me, there's no way you're going to make it over a year. And I did it for 10 years. And over 50% of that time, probably 75% of that time, I lived off of what I loved to do. I lived off of the arts. I lived off of the creative jobs that I either created myself with other colleagues, or, you know, I hustled and auditioned and got them, you know, just through hard work and determination and perseverance and patience. So, you know, so when some people says, oh, you know, you're not successful, it's how you view success. I'm thankful and grateful first and foremost, but, you know, that was success to me, you know, when people said I couldn't do it, and I did it, and I did it a lot longer, and, you know, and the bit, you know, you reinvent yourself, obviously, you have to, and you know, now there's a lot going on, you know, reinventing yourself and making sure that you're networking online and however you view social media. That's another topic and subject. Some people in my generation are like, oh my gosh, you know? So, but you know, it's what it is. You know, I went to school. The other thing I did when I went to school is I went to school for marketing and business and branding. So I understand marketing and business and branding, and that's exactly what social media is. You know, so it's a different world than it was 20 years ago, obviously. So,
last question: How did you deal with the rejection of not getting certain roles or certain jobs?
Great question. I had to lean on friends of mine in class. I was really blessed. I'm today. Still to this day, some of them have left the business and are real estate agents and investment brokers, and they're making a lot of money, but they're not fulfilled creatively. But we really clinged together, accountability. Of course, there are times when you get so close, you get to a callback, and it's for a certain commercial, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and it's, you know, and back. In the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, you get a callback to a national commercial, and the residuals were blessings, a major blessing. That's not the same anymore. So when you get really close to certain gigs and jobs, whether it was TV, film, or commercials, or even print, I really just leaned on my friends in class, Anthony Barnett was such a rock. Yeah.
Not to cut you off. We come to the end of our show, so would you please give your fans your goodbyes, please?
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, hey, thanks so much for listening and tuning in today. I really appreciate everybody that joined in to listen. And thank you for letting me share my heart and just, you know, who I am. And, yeah, you can check me out, on the website. If you when you get a chance, just at Corey, Cory, M as in mom, M Johnson, JohnsonSON.com, CoryMJohnson.com. And, look forward to hopefully meeting some of you and working with some of you in the down the road. So God bless and Godspeed.
The next time y'all, you already know what it is. The next time, same booky time, same catch. Black, I mean, same FAD channel, same Warfare Time Zone. Till next time, y'all. Love you a lot. But you know, you guys, I'm going to leave you guys with this song. Without me, y'all. Remember, Joseph Eason.
Some of y'all call me shapeshifter, battle cat, even a chameleon. Call me what you want, my house is command central, and I know the difference. You might not like me, hell, you might even hate me. Without me, you have no chance of existence. You might not like it, but you know I'm batting a thousand. You might can count one hand how many times I come close to letting you down. Villains come from one side, and the villains come from the other.